So had the joy yesterday of being at priestly ordination of now Father Ben Valentine. The Archdiocese of Dubuque has another priest, praise God. And priestly ordinations are always moments of really kind of deep reflection for us as priests, because probably like those of you who are married, when you go to weddings, you go back to that time when it was your turn. And I was struck just looking at then-deacon, soon-to-be Father Ben, lying on the floor, prostrate, as we're chanting the Litany of the Saints, and just going, you have no idea what you are saying yes to. And I think any of you who are married know that reality as well. You had no idea what you said yes to when you made those promises. And we probably should have had an idea. They were making us make promises. So there's something baked into this that's going to be difficult. But that is not cynicism. Right? It can become cynicism, perhaps we see it more easily, related to marriage, when the concept for a bachelor or bachelorette's party is one last chance to have fun before everything dies. But we do believe that something dies. In fact, that's exactly what a soon-to-be ordained priest lying on the floor of the cathedral represents. If you go to some monasteries, they go so far as to take a pall, white or black, and lay it over the man to really drive home the point. He is dead. The old him is no more. And we have these beautiful but apocalyptic readings. I want you to just pause and be attentive to what happens in your heart when you hear this sentence. The end of all things is at hand. What moved through your heart when you heard that, when the reading was proclaimed, when I just said it again? When you've thought about this before, what moves in your heart? Because it's kind of a big deal, that sentence. The end of all things is at hand. Does it bring panic? What can I do to stave it off? Does it bring confusion, uncertainty? When? When is it going to happen? Does it bring doubt? Peter wrote this 2,000 years ago. Things seem to be running still. Or does it bring relief? Please, Jesus, and soon. We need to know what our response to that sentence, that proclamation really is. Because as we know what our motivation is, we can then discern whether that reaction is of God's spirit or of the evil spirit. Because when we get married, when we get ordained, when that old life is dead and ends, it isn't, all right, we just stay here. Father Valentine has his first Mass later today and will start his first assignment in a couple of weeks. We don't get to stay at a wedding reception. And St. Peter has the sense that even though the end of all things is at hand, it isn't time to sit on our hands. Let your love for one another be intense. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Whoever preaches, let it be with God's words. Whoever serves, let it be with God's strength. Whatever is going on, in all things, God may be glorified. So he understands that even if the end of all things is at hand, we still have work to do. That there is still more to be written. And so our response matters. Now, when I say there's still more work to be done, don't hear what I'm not saying. This isn't some sort of exhortation just to become worker bees and do and do and do and do until we're exhausted. Peter makes very clear that whatever comes is focused on and is united to Jesus. And it took him a long time to learn that lesson. This is from the pen of Peter. "No, Lord, such a thing will never happen to you." Or when the mob shows up, "Yeah, it's the end, all right, it is their end. I will pull out my sword." Or, "I'm going fishing. It's the end of my ministry." Something has changed through the gift of the Holy Spirit. The end of all things is not some final blaze of glory for us as disciples of Jesus. In some ways, it isn't different for us. If we are living the way we ought to right now, our eyes, and more importantly, the eyes of our hearts, are fixed on Jesus. And so whenever the definitive end of this material universe comes about, it's an entry into fulfillment. And that, again, is what Jesus seems to be going after as he speaks to his apostles. "I have told you this so that you may not fall away. They will expel you from the synagogues. In fact, the hour is coming when everyone who kills you will think he is offering worship to God. They will do this because they have not known either the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you." Again, pay attention what happens when we hear the end of all things is at hand. So often what happens is we try and protect ourselves, we preserve ourselves, we go into fight or flight mode. And if we're honest, we feel alone. I must fend off the attack. I must get away. I must protect those that I love. Jesus says, "I have told you this so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you." You may remember that this is not outside of my will. This is not outside of the strength that I give to you. This is not outside of my love for you. I am with you in that. Through my advocate, through the Holy Spirit. He doesn't say, "Here's how to stay in the synagogues in 10 easy steps." He doesn't say, "Here's how to avoid persecution. Here's how to build a church that will always be in its ascendancy." In fact, when their hour comes, we will meet the cross. We will meet death. "But when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you. You are not alone. I am with you." So how have we experienced the end of all things in our lives? All of the new priests in the country will have that moment when nobody cares that they're a newly ordained priest. "You said something that upset me, Father, and so let me lay out everything that's wrong with you." Or all of that training, and all you can do is sit there and grieve with parents who have lost their child. All of you who are married know there comes a moment where you go, "Am I sure that was the right decision?" When you have your children, there is a moment where you realize maybe they're not quite as cute as everybody else says that they are. When we have a job, no longer an exciting and new, we have to put our nose to the grindstone and keep going. In all of these moments and so many more, we experience the end of all things, it feels like. The stuff we want to run away from or fight against and react. And it's precisely in that moment that we should hear the words of our scripture readings today. We turn the eyes of our heart to Jesus. We remember that he has told us. And so we are not alone. We are not outside of his care, his will, or his power. And so in that we can have peace. We can have hope. We can wait for the end of all things, not as some sort of final relief from all that annoys or bothers or causes us pain, but as that entry into heavenly life that our commitments pointed to. A priest lays down on the cathedral floor to enter into that tabernacle not made by human hands, where Christ the High Priest ministers, and to lead a multitude of souls after him. Those of you who are married, it's a manifestation of our longing to be united with the one who loves our soul perfectly. So may we not lose sight of that, of those true ends, in looking at Jesus, when we face what feels to be the end of all things in this life. So as we draw close to Jesus today in the Eucharist, he gives us a taste of heaven. He reorients our vision. He doesn't pat us on the back and give us an attaboy or an attagirl or say it's not that bad. He gives us himself. So may we remember that. May we receive that. May we remain in that grace. And then have peace as we face the end of all things.